I'm gonna have you out here in about 10, 15 minutes, so you're not gonna hear some big sermon today. But Jesus already did the work. Somebody say amen. Jesus already did the work. But I do wanna say this to you. God's bringing our church to a standard of holiness. And it requires surrender. Can I talk to you just for 10 minutes as a pastor? Requires holiness. I feel the Lord. And we are creating services for Him, not people. We're creating services that lift Him up. And when He's lifted up, He raises the dead. He heals the heart. He sets the captive free. He saves the soul. Sermons don't save people. I'm all for sermons. I think they're fantastic. But His presence is what we long for. His presence is what we're running after. And the Holy Spirit is obsessed with making you like Jesus. Some people say, well, let's do a series on the real you. I've met the real me and I don't like him. I don't like any version of me. I want to be like Jesus. Come on, can I get an amen? There's no version of me that I want. I want to die that he may live in me. That's what Paul said. And I want us to surrender to him. I want us to have a standard of holiness. And I think sometimes we've lost that in our Western culture, you know. Because it's just we just show up. And it's just church. But this place is holy. I want to say that again. This place is holy. God heals people here. People come with terminal diseases and they cry out to God. God saves marriages here and sets captives free. Yes, this is holy ground. God told Moses in Exodus, he said, take off your shoes for the place you stand is holy. There's a way to approach God. And I think sometimes we've lost that because the enemy to honor is just familiarity.
Yeah, that's right.
We just get familiar with it. We lose the wonder and the awe that we once had of being in his presence. The early church understood this, that when they worshiped, they literally believed they were joining the worship service in heaven. They didn't believe like today we have three worship services. They would say there's one worship service that happens all day, every day, and we get to join it. That's why when you go into old churches, in historical churches, you look at the ceiling, you'll see angels and saints, and it looks like heaven because they believe when they worship, they joined with all of heaven. The Bible says when we worship, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. How many people believe the scriptures? That when we worship, I mean, we have acoustic tiles and LED lights, and it's great. I'm not attacking it. I'm just saying we lose the awe and the wonder of holiness. We lose the wonder of even bringing a Bible. It's called the Holy Bible. It's holy, it's set. Easter, some people are like, I'm not even going to church on Easter. It's a holiday. Holiday comes from a holy day. That's what holiday means. It's a holy day. And I think even in our kids, I just went in our kids' wing before I came out here. I came out in like the second or third song I was in kids. And all the kids were praying. They were praying over the kids. There was such order. We've changed what we're doing in kids' ministry every week. The kids, we pray over every visiting kid. We prophesy over every visiting kid. I think every visiting kid needs to have a word from God spoken over them. We pray for kids that are sick. We pray for kids that are being bullied, that God would give them a friend that loves Jesus. We go through the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you don't know them. We sing songs like, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, and Father Abraham, I'm in the Lord's Arms. How many remember some of these songs that you don't even need music for them? There's a cross. There's a cross in big kids. We're going to be putting one in little kids. And I want to ask all the parents in here, how many of you want your kids to encounter the presence of God when they come in kids' church? You want that? Okay, well, this is not Chuck E. Cheese. I'm not attacking Chuck E. Cheese, but this is not that. I'm not making it that. I'm not. This is holy. And you have to teach kids how to be in the presence of God. If you don't teach them, they don't know. You have to, and this doesn't start when they show up. This starts in the morning. You get worship music on in the morning. You get their clothes laid out on Saturday night so there's no arguing. Where's your other shoe? You get worship music on in the car. How many of you know worship music cuts down on arguing in the car? You get worship music on in the car. You pray for your kids before you come into church. Now, guys, you don't threaten them. You pray for them. Guys, let mom and dad prophesy over you. We're getting ready to go into church. And Lord, I speak that you're going to touch their heart today. That when we pick them up, you're going to have something that you've put in them. You're going to minister to them. They're going to feel your presence today. They're going to honor their teachers. They're going to obey. And they're going to be leaders to other kids. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go into church. And they come in with a respect and an honor to receive from the Word of God. You can't have chaos in kids' ministry and then God heal kids and kids are weeping. Come on. You got to create, how many of you believe you got to create an atmosphere for the Lord? How many of you know we got to have it in here? You can't just have chaos and then God move. We minister the Holy Spirit. When he gave us a sign of the Holy Spirit, he used a dove. We minister as if there's a dove on our shoulder. Now, if you had a dove on your shoulder, how would you act? If you wanted to keep it, it wouldn't be chaos because it would leave. Come on, can I get an amen about that? We want to minister to our children the presence of God. And so you have to create an atmosphere, which means you can't show up late. I can't get one amen. You see how quiet it was, Jeremy? Not one amen. You can't show up late because I'm not gonna have kids just checking in all times because it disrupts. You don't even realize it. Even when you do it in here and you get up and you walk around, you can become an instrument of distraction from God moving. And you've got to protect that for what God wants to do, even in our kids' ministry. Because you can't, how many of you want to have the same healing that happens in here happen in our kids? How many of you want the same worship experience? How many of you love the worship experience we had here? How many of you want that in your kids? I do. I have kids in there. I have kids in every one of those age groups. Man, I've got kids in here singing and running cameras, and I got eight of them running around doing stuff. But I want them to encounter God. And if we don't set an atmosphere like that in their heart, then they don't know. So they got to come in with a spirit of worship and honor. I don't know how y'all grew up. I wasn't even allowed to run in church. Anybody else grew up like that? I just want to know if I was the only one. I wasn't allowed to run. I wasn't allowed to chew gum in church. I'm not saying you can't chew gum. I'm just saying that how I grew up. You know, I grew up in a very some people might call it legalistic. And I think there were some things that went too far. But let me say this. You know what it did teach me? It taught me to respect. Yes. It really did teach me. I look back. Anybody else grew up in some environments like that? Like, You couldn't just wear anything. I had to wear, I had a suit on, a clip-on tie, and I was 8 years old, and you know, and I was, it, I'm not saying that we need to do that, but what I am saying is, and I think there's extremes, and I think I grew up kind of in this extreme, but what I'm saying is, I think we've swung the pendulum back so far that we just treat church however we treat it, and then we're shocked that there's no move of God. And I'm just saying, for all of us, I think we need to kind of search our heart and say, am I setting an environment that protects holiness? Am I setting an environment that lets my family know this place is special? This is holy when we come in here. You know, like, I didn't ever dishonor. You know, you weren't allowed to dishonor Sunday school teachers. And how many of you grew up going to Sunday school?
Yeah.
Most of you know the name of your Sunday school teacher because they were there every week.
Yes.
You didn't have a different one every week. They committed to you, taught you the word of God. And so I want to raise the standard that we have in our kids ministry and make it all about Jesus. Everybody say, let's make it all about Jesus. Let's make it all about Jesus. And I just want to say one last thing. I want us to move closer to the Lord. And I want us to do it in our prayer life. And I want us to do it in our service to Him. You know, I was thinking about how I grew up the other day. And I was thinking about all the things I saw people do for Jesus that no one ever saw. No one really. There was no social media for it. See, we all grew up without social media. So we know what it's like to do things without people seeing, but we're losing it. When I grew up, there'd be like women who would just come by the church and pick the weeds in the flower beds. They never posted it like, hey, we're serving Jesus. There were men that showed up just like on Tuesday and they would vacuum the church vans. Anybody remember church vans? I'm the only one in here who grew up. Where did y'all grow up? Anybody remember church vans? And I remember guys would just show up and they'd be like, oh, we're vacuuming the church vans. You know, or they'd go gas them up or put air in the tires or just, it was like the church just served and they did it without being seen. And I think there's something special. Just hear me out. There's something special about doing something for God that's simple. Just really simple, that nobody really saw but the Lord. Just doing it for Him, the simplicity of it. You know, people used to like cut the grass and we would show up and they had railings and we would get little buckets and sponges and wipe the railings. I remember these things growing up. You know, it wasn't just like Sunday morning thing. It was like we just did things for the, women would bake rolls and anybody know what I'm talking about? We just as a family just had a heart to do simple little things for each other and the household of faith and for the Lord throughout the week. Not just on Sunday, like just throughout the week. And we did it out of a heart of love and gratitude for the Lord. And there's something holy about doing hidden, simple things with the presence of God in mind that changes you because you lose the world's definition of significance. And we need to die. Hear me, I'm almost done. Give me 2 minutes. We need to die to this weird itch for worldly significance. We need to die to that. We need to surrender that to the Lord and just say, like, I don't care if anybody sees it. I don't care how little and simple it is. I just want to do something for the Lord that nobody knows. And I don't care if it's like, oh, can I come clean that window? Or can I, you know, make Pastor a peach cobbler? I'm kidding, I'm losing weight. Don't make me a peach cobbler. Let me hit my goal first and then you can turn loose on the blessing. But just simple little things. And it didn't always have to be for the church. It could be for somebody. Just somebody, like somebody in your neighborhood or somebody, but just something, but you did it for the Lord. We've lost that and we're not teaching it to the next generation. And you know better because you didn't grow up with that social media. You didn't grow up posting stuff. You grew up doing it just out of your heart. You know better. I'm not attacking you can't post something. Please hear my heart. I'm not being legalistic. I'm just saying we've lost that. And the church needs to recapture the heart and die to worldly significance and gain the holiness back of the house of God. You know, Brian and I were walking around the church this week and we were just dreaming about what could we do to bring holiness, to make it feel like set apart. And my mind just started going, you know? I'm like, why can't we get Rose of Sharon in the flower beds or Lily of the Valley? Why can't we get like more symbolic things of our faith, you know? Of the cross, of what Jesus did, or just how we even act in here. You wouldn't go in the St. Paul Basilica and yell, "Hey, you guys!" Because it's holy. You'd be like, "Hey, where's the restroom?" Come on, am I right about it? I'm not saying anything. Please hear my heart. I'm just saying, it's the enemy to honors familiarity. And we can lose the even heart to bring a Bible, come to church, to worship, to serve, to give. We can just lose it all in a generation, in one moment. And you weren't raised like that. Listen to me. Raise your hand if you went to Sunday school again. Raise your hand. You were raised. Do not, let me leave you with this. You remember the story of the little boy with the loaves and fish? Yes. How many of you went to Sunday school? Okay. He's out there with 5,000 people and nobody has anything. And I've been to Israel. It's hot. He's out in the desert because Jesus took these people out in the desert to preach to them. And he preached so long, the disciples came to Jesus and was concerned about... The Bible says Jesus preached so long. Some of y'all couldn't attend Jesus church. Some of y'all could not attend. You would walk out. The Bible says when the day began to wear away, he was preaching so long, the sun starts to go, which in the Greek means when the day began to wear away. And the disciples came up with a plan to get him to stop preaching. And they said, well, he don't seem to care a lot about us, but he seems to care about the people. So let's tell him the people are hungry. And so they went to Jesus and said, the people are hungry. And Jesus said, okay, give them something to eat. Now, what are you talking about? So they went and somehow they got this little boy and he had a little Lunchable with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And all I want to say about it, because I'm going to be done. Listen, all I want to say is no one else had anything. And I could just see this. See, this is how my mind thinks when I read this, when I read the text. His mama or his daddy gave him this lunch. And they said, now look, you're going to be out there. You're going to be doing it. It may be hot. Other kids may throw theirs away. I don't care if you don't like it. Don't you throw this away. And for some reason, everybody else that was out there had nothing. But for some reason, he kept. Even if he saw other kids throwing it away or it didn't look any good, he kept it. He kept it. And because he had it, God used it and he multiplied it. All I want to say to you is don't throw away what your parents gave you. Don't lose what was imparted into you. Even if you see other people throwing it away, even if we see other churches getting rid of it and other people are saying, oh, forget it. We got to go to 60-minute services and we just got to get them in and out. I don't care what you see people do. You keep what was imparted into you as a child. Keep it. Don't lose it. And I'm just here this morning to fan the flame of your childhood. Because I watch what was happening to our kids, and I'm like, the parents of these kids know better. They were raised different than this. Amen. We were raised, your mama say, I raised you better than that.
Amen.
Your parents and my parents raised us to know better than that. They raised us to bring an offering. They raised us to pray. They raised us to love Jesus. And we have thrown it away. And I'm telling you this morning, get back. Go back and just sit and search your heart. And say, God, what was my childhood like? What did you impart into me? And let God stir that in your heart again. Let God stir it in your heart and impart it into your children. And let's see God birth a revival in our kids, in our teenagers, in our young adults, and in us. That it may never end with us. May never end with us. May we not be the generation that dropped the torch, that did not pass the baton. Let's live and set an example of holiness in God's house. Come on, can I get an amen about it?